I'm Christy Allgood. I'm from Chicago at the Sinai Urban Health Institute, and I'm going to talk about patient navigation at a safety net hospital, which is Mount Sinai Hospital. When it loads up, we'll start. First, I'm an epidemiologist, so I'm going to talk about epidemiology of breast cancer in Chicago, and then I'll go through the outline as I go through the presentation. This slide shows that white women in Chicago are more likely to be diagnosed with breast cancer than black women, and yet black women are more likely to die from breast cancer. This is Chicago data. The dates are down there. These are the most recent data that we have in Chicago, which is why they're kind of old. But from this graph, you can see the disparity of breast cancer in Chicago much more clearly. This is breast cancer mortality only. And you can see in 1980, when the graph starts, that the mortality rates were equal, or about equal. And then sometime in the early 90s, a disparity was created, and the difference then is about 68% higher for black women, meaning black women in Chicago are 68% more likely to die from breast cancer than white women. And what this kind of says is that even though in 1980, even though the rates are not statistically different from 1980 to 2002 for black women, it's still a little bit higher, so that means there's kind of a trend going upward in increasing mortality rates. Be able to see that from the next slide. This slide shows the mortality rates in other cities, like New York City. It's the only one we had, and also the United States. So the orange bar is that of New York City, and you can see that that's been pretty stable and fairly low. And yet in the United States, which is the next bar up, it's about twice as high as that of New York City. And then Chicago is the darker bar, and that continues to rise up, and it doesn't seem to be on its way back down. So we often get a lot of talks, questions about why this may happen, and a lot of people talk about it being maybe a biology issue versus a system issue. And at the Urban Health Institute, we believe it's more of a system issue, because how can you explain the difference between, say, genetics of New York women versus Chicago women? So this is the argument that we've presented to talk about our patient navigation, which is one way to improve mortality potentially, and at least improve the disparity a little bit, at least in small hospitals. But we also found that this graph shows just Chicago alone. It doesn't include the suburban areas. The areas that are bluish are predominantly black community areas. Chicago is divided up into about 74 community areas, and they all have different Chicago is a very segregated city, so they're all very different. Usually on the south side of the city is mostly a black population. On the west side, it's a mixture of black and Hispanic. North side is majority white, some mixed community areas as well. But the blue areas in Chicago are on the map, shows the black community areas with the highest breast cancer mortality rates. And then the red areas show the non-African-American communities. So they may be more mixed communities, maybe white communities. I can't really say from this. But you can also see on the little dots and the little squares represent areas where general hospitals that provide oncology services. And you can see, it's hard to see a little bit on the blue areas, but there are very few dots in the blue area, very few squares in the blue area that provide oncology services in the south part of the city, or the area that's mostly blue. So if you know a lot about breast cancer, you do need to go and have those services available to you for treatment, because sometimes they're prescribed daily, and if it's not convenient, a lot of times you'll have breaks in services. So in addition to all that data that we already knew, we found some timeliness issues in our local institution, meaning 13% of those with suspicious mammograms did not return for the required follow-up. So we don't know if they had breast cancer or not. We just lost them to follow-up. We also found that 23% of cancer patients, people who knew they had cancer, did not receive treatment within 30 days of diagnosis. And their literature suggests, the last bullet point there, is that timely follow-up can increase survival. So if there's any breaks in that follow-up, you could reduce your chances of having long-term survival of breast cancer. There's also evidence of variable quality of breast cancer health care in the city of Chicago and nationally, which I've probably heard many times at this conference already. So I'm just going to go through the patient navigation program, which we've developed. It's funded through the Avon Foundation. So In Chicago, or at least in our institution, we've defined patient navigation as improving breast health services by using a patient navigator to facilitate imaging, diagnosis, and treatment of breast cancer at Mount Sinai Hospital. What that means is they literally walk patients from the front door to any service they need in the hospital. We assist patients during procedures. We hold their hand. We'll talk to them about their family. Women can be very frightened about getting a biopsy or what the results will come, what they'll get as a result. So our patient navigators are there to help them become more at ease with the service they're getting. We also try to reduce any controllable barriers, which means we try to provide transportation, child care, elder care, whatever they need, and we can provide it, we'll give it to them. We also educate patients at every visit, meaning we talk about getting screened annually for mammography screening, coming back for any of the services their physicians recommend, and so on. We also facilitate patient-centered care, which I'll talk about a little bit later. We help the physicians get the previous films from other institutions and within our own system so that the radiologist doesn't need to order additional films, which, again, will delay the final outcomes. And then we also help with getting referrals. This is a safety net hospital, so most of the patients are on Medicaid, or very few have HMOs, but they all need help getting their referrals through the web of system in the medical field, in the medical industry. So the Sinai Health System, as I said, is one of the largest Medicaid providers in the city of Chicago. We accept all patients regardless of their ability to pay, so we are labeled a safety net hospital. We're located in North Lawndale, which is a community area with one of the highest breast cancer mortality rates in the city. And we serve a predominantly Black and Latino population, and many of the Latino patients don't speak English. So some of our goals for our navigation project are to reduce loss to follow-up, expedite follow-up and diagnosis in treatment. And the way we do that is we'll communicate the results to the primary care physicians so that they can facilitate that referral process and get things moving. We ensure that the patient's actually aware of their scheduled appointment and communicate that appointment date and time to the patient. We'll contact the patients on missed appointments. If they don't show to an appointment, we'll call them and see if we can set up an additional appointment. We acquire those additional films or the comparison films upon request of the radiologist. And we reduce any of those controllable barriers, which I talked about a little bit earlier. We also navigate patients through diagnosis and treatment. We don't stop at diagnosis. We'll go all the way through till they are recommended an annual mammogram screening. We also try to implement prospective treatment planning, which in our institution means breast cancer patients will see each of their treating physicians before any treatment starts so that the patient's more involved in their health care. And then the overall goal, of course, is to improve the quality of services. This is the navigation program, kind of a little framework, I guess. Patients will come in and get a screening mammogram, and once an abnormal finding occurs, that's when navigation begins. We have targets set for each of those time points. We'd like to have any time an abnormal finding occurs to the time they initiate treatment to occur within 45 days. From an abnormal finding to breast cancer diagnosis, we'd like that to occur in 15 days, and then from breast cancer to initiation of treatment to occur within 30 days. But either way, we follow up patients all the way through to a recommendation of an annual screening, and then it starts all over again if there's another abnormal finding. Some of you may already know this, but this is the coding system for mammograms, and our program is interested mostly in those bolded by red 0, 4s, and 5s, which we consider to be abnormal and most likely breast cancer. So we track them when they start at any of those by red codes. This is the volume of mammogram services at Mount Sinai Hospital. We do approximately 9,000 mammograms each year, and it continues to grow. But there's no difference, really, in the BI-RED code or the severity of the mammogram between each year, even though the volume's increased. This is kind of a project design, I suppose. We started our project in 2005, so that's our baseline year, and we began patient navigation in 2006. And at that time, we had one bilingual navigator, so the data that I'm presenting is from her experience as the single only patient navigator. But now we have hired two additional patient navigators, so we have three, and two of them are bilingual. Our staff sits in the radiology department, and they'll assist in surgery and oncology clinics as requested. Want to talk about our outcomes? These are the last to follow-up outcomes for screening mammograms, those BI-RADS zeros. Now remember, screenings are given to women without symptoms, so those with BI-RADS zeros require immediate follow-up, or preferably within a few weeks, to find out whether or not they need a biopsy and so on. So we had the highest loss to follow-up rate in that category because they didn't have any symptoms, they didn't know they really needed additional services, and we were able to reduce that follow-up rate from 33%, or loss to follow-up rate, 33% to 18%, and that was statistically significant. The BI-RADS 4s and 5s, which are more suspicious for breast cancer, didn't change at all, but we're still going down a little bit further on that loss to follow-up rate, so that's good, but it wasn't significant. These are some of our timeliness measures for the time from diagnosis, or the time from abnormal screening all the way through to treatment. So we have a median number of days between abnormal screening and initiation of treatment. We'd like that to occur within 45 days. And in 2005, it was 40 days, and in 2006, it was 45. It wasn't statistically significant. It went up slightly, but again, we just had one patient navigator, and we focused our attention in 2006 on follow-up. In 2007, we're hoping those numbers will improve for timeliness. We also had a median number of days between diagnosis and treatment. We'd like to have that occur within 30 days. In 2005, we were already at that goal. But in 2006, we dropped that down to 17 days, and that was statistically significant. And then the proportion receiving prospective treatment planning, or seeing all of their treating physicians prior to the initiation of treatment, went up slightly, but it wasn't significant. This is our breast cancer follow-up for 2005 and 2006. And what we were able to do, that bolded one on the bottom, is our loss to follow-up rate, or people we were unable to contact. These are known breast cancer cases that we, the hospital lost to follow-up. And we went from 22% to 8%, which was significant. We also were able to reduce the number of patients that refused treatment and increase the number that were actually treated at our hospital, so we knew exactly the kind of care they were receiving. I don't want to go through all these numbers, but these are some of the services that the navigators provide. Like I said, they escort, they help with films. Most of their time is spent escorting and assisting patients with appointments, but they do a number of other different things which also take a lot of time and help with assisting barriers. These are just a couple of case studies to bring it more to a patient level. This patient was seen in the emergency department. Her oncologist referred her to get a CAT scan, and she waited several hours in the emergency room without being seen by the staff. The mother's daughter called the navigator who had been following her through her cancer treatment, and the navigator was able to coordinate the seeing the physician as well as getting the CAT scan very quickly so that the patient had those services she needed and was able to get the treatment she needed for her abdominal pain. The navigator also stayed late that day to ensure that the service was provided. The mom was admitted, and our navigators then visited her on the next day. They often have strong relationships with the patients because they do see them on a daily basis for their treatment. The second case study is this patient was fearful of having a biopsy in general and surgery. She's a 49 Latina woman who needed a breast biopsy. She's very nervous. She was also very nervous that her husband would have to miss work because then income would be less for that day and it would cause a problem in their family. Our navigator met her in the lobby, remained with her during the procedure so that her husband didn't have to miss work that day. She also held her hand during her biopsy, spoke Spanish about family and so on to kind of distract her from the service that she was having. The patient's daughter called our navigator later and said that her mom was very at ease having our navigator in the room with her. Pathology unfortunately revealed breast cancer. The patient needed surgery, and she considered not having it because she was nervous again that the physician would remove her entire breast. The navigator then comforted the patient for a while over the phone many times and then helped her get her consult appointment with her surgeon, and then met her in the lobby, and she was able to be treated. And we know what happened to that patient after the fact. some of our main findings are we've decreased loss to follow-up among those requiring additional images and those diagnosed with breast cancer. We've improved treatment timeliness, not so much from diagnosis to treatment, but our detection to treatment, but we've at least improved the time they were diagnosed to the initiation of treatment. We've also improved the numbers treated at our hospital and decreased the numbers who refused to be treated. Some of our overarching outcomes is patient satisfaction. Patients have personally expressed their satisfaction in letters and happiness with having our patient navigators, as well as in person. We've also eased the burden on the clinic staff prior to our navigators. Our surgeons and physicians were coordinating all those tests, pre-surgical testing, and it was eating up a lot of time because Mount Sinai is very spread out, like most older hospitals are. It's very hard to get all these services done prior to surgery, and a lot of times the patient was left to fend for themselves, but now with the navigators, they're able to do a lot of that stuff, and then the physicians can focus on direct care. Moving forward, we received a grant from the Avon Foundation to move our navigation program from our hospital into two distinct community areas on the west side of Chicago. One is North Lawndale, which is where our hospital sits, predominantly a black community area, and that area with one of the highest mortality rates, breast cancer mortality rates, and Humboldt Park, which is a gentrifying mixed community area. Both of them have different assets and needs, and we're hoping to improve mortality in both of those areas. This would be an example of translational research moving from the hospital into the community. Some of the acknowledgments are the Avon Foundation for funding our project, of course, our three navigators, Diana Salgado, Susan Gill, and Monique Mitz, Mary Rinder, who's the manager of Women's Health at Mount Sinai, and my boss, Steve Whitman, who's the director of the Urban Health Institute in Chicago. And that's it. Mammograms or screening mammograms are abnormal, so it's about 1,000, approximately. We diagnose about 50 to 60 breast cancers each year, so they'll follow them throughout treatment, which may go into the next year. So our lead navigator may be working with about 120 or so patients, and then the other two navigators then work on the remaining 900 or so. So a lot of people. Yes, they're paid through Avon Foundation. We envision future grants. Mount Sinai doesn't have the funds to fund all three of the navigators. They may be able to fund one if we were to lose funding. But it's a fantastic service. They're also, the CEO of our hospital is considering maybe moving it into different disease areas instead of just breast cancer, because the model just will work. There's a lot of disease areas where patient navigators will help. I can't answer that. We haven't done a cost analysis, but they do. We probably should, but they do that monthly in our management meetings, and they have noticed an increase in, I guess, Medicaid charges to for breast cancer treatment. Right. It should, but it's Medicaid. CEO is very much on the quality front. He's very, a leader, I suppose, in Chicago for that. So he's trying to figure out inexpensive ways, of course, to improve quality, and this is a very simple way. I can't say that he would fund a patient navigator, but I can see it happening in the hospital. There's also not a lot of research on patient navigators. We know what they do and we know what they can do, but there's no trials, or there's one going on now, but so it's a little bit harder to convince some people, but the navigators have done great work. We've actually, that graph stimulated a task force in Chicago where we are hoping to address this disparity as a city rather than just as lowly little Mount Sinai Hospital on the west side. We've gotten Northwestern, we've gotten Rush, which is big university settings in Chicago, to come together and try to figure out what that problem is and what we can do to solve it. But I can't say that it's tamoxifen. I don't know if that's the reason, but my hunch would be that it's more of a systematic problem in general, which tamoxifen would fall under. They wouldn't have access to that sort of thing. Our safety net hospital is grouped in the middle of the city, but the areas have spread around. It used to serve the population that the hospital sat in, but now everyone's moved out of the city. They've moved here. It's much more inconvenient for the patients. I don't think that the patients are able to use those services, so I think that plays a lot into it. And I'm sure there's other factors. We put a report out of recommendations to give to policymakers in Chicago. Hopefully they've read it, made the press. This was just recent, a few weeks ago. And we'll see what happens. We're trying to seek funding to keep the task force going at this point, and then we can carry out those policy recommendations. But a lot of foundations, and we've gotten a little bit of interest from the private foundations for funding it.